If you're at a crossroads today, if you showed up wondering, where do I go from here? Friends, I want to tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. Hang in there. Press on. Don't give up. So we heard a lot about flexibility, stretching in these passages. We all need to stretch. We all need to stretch to maintain our muscle flexibility and strength, right? That's what a sports trainer will tell you, and that's what the Harvard Health letter says as it describes the benefits of stretching. It says, without stretching, our muscles shorten. I found that interesting. Our muscles shorten, and they become tight. Then, when we call on our muscles for activity, they are weak and unable to extend all the way. So you may know that feeling. It's what happens when you sit on the couch all day and play video games, right? You get up, it's like, ugh, stretch. Or you ride in the tractor trying to plant corn, you know, you get out of it and it's stretch. Or you're sitting in the pew and it's already half an hour and you're going, ugh, and you try to stand up and you need to stretch. So I know that feeling. I know what happens. You're, you know, your hamstrings get tight on the back of your thigh. And when you stand up, you groan. It's hard to extend your leg. It's hard to walk the way you're supposed to. So we need to simply stretch, right? And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a little stretching. So if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand up. Yep, that's right. Stand up out of your pew. If you're able, we're going to stretch. If you're not able to stand up, that's okay. You can just use your arms for this, okay? So we're going to stretch. So I actually looked on this online. We're going to do a simple stretch. It's called the torso stretch. So you got to raise up your hands together above your head. Even if your shirt comes untucked, that's okay. So raise up your hands and stretch. Reach as high as you can towards the ceiling. Take a deep breath and hold it for a moment. Stretch, reach. All right, now just tilt a little bit this way. That's right. Very good. Hold it there. Hold it. Stretch. All right, now back a little bit. Not too far. Up and stretch a little more. Hold it there. And then back straight up. Take a big breath. Reach for the ceiling. And as you let your hands down, let out your breath. All right. Now we're going to stretch our thighs out. Put your foot up on the back of the pew. I'm just kidding, okay? We're not going to do that. Go ahead and sit down, if you will. Good job. Stretching out. So here's the thing about stretching. It doesn't magically work like one stretch, and we're all stretched out until next Sunday, right? That's not how it works. Flexibility is a work in progress. A work in progress. So unless you're Stretch Armstrong or Elastigirl, we need to stretch every day, over and over and over again. And that's how we develop and maintain this muscle flexibility. And that's how we keep our muscles strong, we keep them healthy, so that when we call on them for action, they're ready to do what we want them to do. Make sense? That's like our faith. If we don't stretch it, if we don't expand our faith often, our faith won't be strong and healthy when we need it the most. So the good news today is this. God can work with even the smallest, even the littlest faith. Jesus said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. That's good news. Yet Peter found out that little faith can also sink us. So, oh, look, I untucked my shirt. You know, I like the idea of mountain-moving faith. Do you like that one? I'm not so sure about this little faith. It sounds a little risky. How about you? What kind of faith do you want to pursue? Do you want to pursue sinking faith or mountain-moving faith? What do you think? Mountain-moving faith, right? We want to move mountains, that kind of faith. So we're going to pursue mountain-moving faith together this summer. So as we enjoy the rhythm of the next 3 months of northern summer, we're going to press on and follow Jesus in faith-stretching ways. So this pursuit, I think, is captured by the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the Philippian believers. So if you want to follow along in the Bible, you can. It'll be up here on the screen as well. Chapter 3 of Philippians, we listen to how Paul keeps striving forward. He's reaching beyond. He's stretching because he's confident that in Jesus, there's more. There's always more. So when I said, hang in there, don't give up, recognize that in Jesus, there's more. So after giving a list of all his achievements as a God follower in Judaism, which really is pretty vast, pretty impressive, he says this. He says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So who is this guy who is ready to throw everything away in order to stretch his faith to know Jesus, to know him more? Who is he? Well, the Apostle Paul, he's one of the greatest evangelists in the Bible. He is credited with over a third of the books in the New Testament, and he's an accomplished follower of God in Judaism. Amazing, until he meets Jesus on the road to Damascus and everything changes. He's transformed, and he grows to become one of the most prolific church planters in the Bible, certainly. And by the time this letter is written to the Philippians, he's a famous preacher. He's a famous evangelist. By modern standards, he would be on podcasts everywhere, right? Mega churches would be asking him to come and preach. He'd be one of the most sought-after Christian speakers. But I have a feeling that Paul would have none of that. He writes about his life's pursuit. He says this, life's pursuit, I want to know Christ. And by his description, he wants to know Christ deeply, completely. But then he makes this startling confession. He says this, not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal. And here's the key to this becoming a faith-stretching Jesus follower. I think this is important. It's all about humility. Humility. It's all about humility. As strong as we may think our faith is right now, we are all a work in progress. We all have room to grow. Pastor John Ortberg, he tells this story. He says, we were with friends at an open-air street fair, and we spotted a mechanical bull that tries to buck people off. And the guy operating the bull, he said, watching it isn't nearly as fun as riding. So I told him I wanted to ride, and he looked at me up and down, and he said, are you sure? And that guaranteed that I wasn't going to turn back. And he explained to me that the bull had 12 levels of difficulty. Maybe some of you have tried this before. It might not be easy, he said, but the key is you have to stay on the center of the bull. You have to follow the bull, and you have to shift the center of gravity as the bull moves. So he said, I got on the bull and started slow, and then it started moving faster, jostling me around, and I was holding on real tight. Then I remembered his advice, so I loosened up. And it kept moving faster and jolting more and bucking and jumping. And I was hanging on sideways. My arms were flailing around. And I just hung on. And finally, the bull slowed and it came to a stop. And I was still on. It wasn't pretty, but I made it. And I imagined how surprised the operator of the bull would be that I had triumphed. So I looked over at him and he looked at me. Shaking his head, he smiled and said, nice job. That was level one. I think about those times in my life when I'm feeling confident, you know, that maybe I've got this faith walk all figured out. You know, maybe someone has complimented me about the church or thanked me for helping them through a spiritual question. Or I'm puffed up about being all self-confident about a message I just listened to that was mine on the podcast. And then I hear the Apostle Paul's words, not that I have attained all this. And I can imagine a whisper from Jesus, nice job, Tim. That was level one. Even the Apostle Paul, he says he's a work in progress. You know, I am a work in progress. You are all a work in progress. I want to invite you to lean over to the person beside you and tell them, I am a work in progress. Tell them, I'm a work in progress. Now turn the other way. I'm a work in progress. All right, I didn't say you're a work in progress. I said I'm a work in progress, right? All right, Peter found out that even though he had faith strong enough to get out of the boat and faith strong enough to actually walk on the water, he found out he was still a work in progress. You know, I have a little water walking experience myself, and let me tell you, it's not easy. Here's a picture of me out on Lake Traverse during the VBS canoe trip. And by the way, if you're going into fifth or sixth or seventh grade, you get to go this year on the VBS kayak and canoe trip. And I want to tell you, it's a pretty amazing experience. We get to do some pretty cool things. So I invite you to come along and be part of that this year. So now that you get a glimpse of water walkers on Lake Traverse, it's a whole lot different for those who were there on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of a storm. We look at Peter's debut on the water, and we find it in Matthew's gospel. So of all the people in the boat, only one of them had the courage, the faith, to step out of that boat. Who was that? It was Peter, right? All the other disciples, they stayed in the boat, but Peter, he got out of the boat. It seems to me that's some pretty amazing faith, pretty big faith, if you ask me. And he does it because he's confident in Jesus, at least in Jesus as a miracle worker. They just got finished with Jesus feeding 5,000 people on a mountainside with a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. And then they've been with him, they've seen him heal people, do amazing things, turn water into wine. Jesus can do miracles. And so now they see Jesus himself coming to them, walking on the water. He says, it's me, don't be afraid. So why not Peter, right? Why not Peter get out of the boat, walk on the water along with Jesus? He knows Jesus, he thinks. He trusts Jesus, he thinks. He's ready to get out of the boat and walk towards him, he thinks. But that's where Peter's faith stretches beyond its limit. So there's a storm going on. I don't know, maybe a wave soaked him that drew his attention off of Jesus. But when he started looking at the waves, it says this. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. You know, I would have called Peter's act of getting out of the boat an act of great courage, incredible faith. But Jesus, he had a different response, one that even suggests that faith is lacking or faith is incomplete. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Jesus calls Peter's faith what? Little faith, right? Little faith. One commentator, he writes, Peter's faith in Jesus is strong enough to get him out of the boat and walking on the water, but it's not strong enough to stand up to the storm. It's not enough for Peter to get out of the boat, which was courageous. It's not enough for him to walk on the water. That left his faith incomplete. His faith has to stand up even when it's stretched. So do you have stretchable faith? Does your faith stretch? Or are you like Peter? Do you have doubts, questions in the middle of the storm? Well, I think that when our faith is really put to the test, when we're really stretched, I know I do, I have doubts. Maybe you do too. It's difficult. It's like, whoa, Jesus, what's going on? Save me, save me. What allows our faith to be stretched and still remain trusting? How do we remain this work in progress, you know, becoming more and more like Christ and still grow as a faith-stretching Jesus follower? How does that work? Well, the Apostle Paul, he seems to have the answer. He says it's pretty simple, really. Paul says that he strives to know Jesus. To know Jesus. Actually, to really know Jesus. So these guys in the boat, you know, as we read the Gospels, they keep coming around to the same question again and again and again. And here it is. It's this. Who is this Jesus? Who is he? They're still just getting around to knowing who he really is. Let me ask you this question. How well do you really know Jesus? Do you really, really know him? It says, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Did they really know Jesus at that point? You know, Peter is stretched beyond his faith, but he comes out of it knowing Jesus more. He comes out of the other side trusting Jesus more. Arthur Burns, he was chairman of the United States Federal Reserve, and he was also an ambassador to West Germany. He was a man of considerable gravity. He was an economic counselor to a number of presidents, from Dwight Eisenhower to Ronald Reagan. And when he spoke, Washington listened. Arthur Burns was also Jewish. So when he began attending an informal White House group of fellowship and prayer, he was accorded special respect. No one really quite knew how to involve him in the group, and week after week, when a different person took turns ending with prayer, Burns was always passed by out of a mixture of respect and reticence. One week, the group was led by a newcomer who didn't know the unusual status that Burns occupied, and as the meeting ended, the newcomer turned to Arthur Burns and asked him to close with a time of prayer. So without missing a beat, Burns reached out, held hands with the others in the circle, and prayed this prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bring Jews to know Jesus Christ. I pray that you would bring Muslims to know Jesus Christ. And finally, Lord, I pray that you would bring Christians to know Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to know Jesus. Paul wants to stretch and strive and press on until he really knows him. And he's committed to one thing, letting go of everything to stretch toward what's ahead, to what God has in store for him. So this summer, I want to invite us in this series to stretch like Paul. Let us strive like Paul. Let us press on like Paul to really, really know Jesus. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Don't give up. Don't give up.